Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hello and welcome to Telling Future Generations. Today on our program, we have a very special gift for you this Christmas season. We have with us today Jill Hostetler, who is a CEF missionary here in Illinois, who will be sharing a Christmas Bible lesson just like we teach to the children this Christmas season in our CEF Christmas Party Club outreaches throughout Illinois. So if you are a children's Bible lesson teacher, listen closely. And if you have children or grandchildren, gather them around you and listen to a Christmas story for children called God is So Great.
Jonathan shut the door and walked quickly away from all the Christmas celebrating. The radio was playing Away in a Manger, and everyone in his house was decorating the Christmas tree. He pulled his coat around him and zipped it shut against the cold. He shoved his hands into the pockets of his worn coat. He felt unhappy as he walked across the snow-covered fields towards the lake. It's Christmas time. Why do you think Jonathan was angry? I don't believe it, Jonathan said to himself. God could never have been a baby. It was a winter cold day, and the wind whipped the water in the land. Jonathan could hardly keep his footing as he stumbled across the broken snow and ice that was forming at the water's edge. The lake water was still not frozen, and the water thrashed wildly. Jonathan felt like a small dot against the water swirling in front of him. This is what God is like, he thought. It makes me feel little and unimportant just to think about him. He turned quickly and ran along the shore until he came to the dock. He ducked into the musty darkness of an empty shed, settled himself on some old rags, and sat so he could see the lake without letting the wind freeze his face. Jonathan watched as the water rushed toward the shore, churning and roaring until it crashed against the icy rocks and flew into the air. This is what God is like, he said aloud. Jonathan tried to imagine creation. When God made the world, I know it was crashing and roaring just like those waves out there. God's the most powerful person of all. So why would he want to send his son to earth to be born as a helpless baby? Why would God want to become a person like me? Why? Jonathan dropped his head on his arm and prayed. God, I don't understand. You're so strong. Why would you want to be a weak baby? Help me understand. He lifted his head in time to see a huge wave crash against the rocks and throw its spray as high as the building he was in. Help me understand, he whispered. Above the wind, Jonathan thought he heard someone calling him. He wiggled out of the shed, crawled along the building until he came to the dock and ran all the way home. Jonathan opened the door of his house to warm laughter and spicy smells. Here he is now, called someone as he walked in. Jonathan, I wondered where you were, worried his mother as she hurried over to him. I have someone to show you, she whispered in his ear as she took him into the front bedroom. Aunt Amber has brought her new baby boy with her, and I want you to see him. Softly, she walked across the room to the small cradle in the corner. Hello, sweetie, she said gently. Jonathan walked slowly toward the baby. The infant looked right at him with big blue eyes. Suddenly, the baby gurgled and grinned a toothless smile. Jonathan touched the baby's tiny fingers, which quickly wrapped themselves around his big finger. Wow, Jonathan whispered. He's really something, his mother laughed. I thought you would like baby Jeffrey. Why don't you let the rest of the family see him now? She whispered as she walked out of the room. Jonathan could hardly make himself go away. He couldn't explain what he felt inside. He wanted to stay close to the baby. I wonder, did God really come to earth as a tiny baby like Jeffrey? Did God really become a person like me? Jonathan thought. He tried to act as if he didn't care about the baby, but he just couldn't go very far away. He dragged a big footstool behind the old overstuffed chair next to the bedroom door. He picked up a book and he pretended to read as he watched the different members of his family tiptoe in to see Jeffrey. The girls giggled a lot and acted silly, trying to make the baby smile. Jonathan felt quite proud of himself. The baby Jeffrey had smiled at him without his having to act funny at all. The older women of the family went in and tried to figure out who the baby would look like and how big he would be when he grew up. Then Aunt Janet said, "What is it about a baby? It's such a joy to see one. It makes you feel so happy. I guess seeing the miracle of new life gives us new hope for ourselves." Jonathan thought about what his aunt had said. The miracle of new life gives us new hope for ourselves. Was that why God had sent his son as a tiny baby? Would God's being here on earth be the answer to people's problems? Suddenly he realized almost everyone had gone into the dining room to eat supper. He started to get up too when he noticed his very stern grandfather had put down the newspaper he had been reading and was getting up slowly from the old overstuffed chair. Jonathan watched him peek around the living room to see if anyone was looking and then walk quietly into the bedroom to see the baby. Jonathan could hardly believe what he heard. Grandfather was leaning over Jeffrey and making gurgling noises. "Hello, little fellow," rasped the old man. "You certainly are a handsome little gentleman. Suppose you could smile at your grandpa." Jonathan had never seen his grandfather act so loving and silly in his whole life. He had to clap his hand over his mouth so he wouldn't laugh out loud. "What is it about a baby that just made you want to love him?" he wondered. Before long, Grandfather walked out of the bedroom and stood in the doorway. He looked sideways at Jonathan and winked, and then he adjusted his vest, put on a stern face, and walked to the table. After dinner and just before bedtime, all the relatives and some family gathered together in the living room where Grandfather read the Christmas story from the family Bible. The Bible is different from any other book because it is God's true word. Jonathan was again sitting on the footstool behind the chair where he could hear every word. Would he find the answer to his question tonight? He so wanted to understand why God had sent his son as a tiny baby. Grandfather read in God's Word from Luke chapter 2. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Jonathan thought about that night long ago when God sent his son to earth. It must have been cold and dark in the stable where they kept the animals. Maybe it smelled musty like the old shed next to the lake. Sure was different from God's home in heaven. Why? Jonathan questioned. Then he thought about Mary and Joseph. Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus while he was here on the earth. Were Mary and Joseph scared because they were so far away from their home when it was time for the Son of God to be born? The king had commanded everyone to go to the town where his relatives were born so they could be counted. When they arrived in Bethlehem, it seemed impossible to find a place to stay. Every place was filled. Then they found a stable, and that's where the child was born. They knew baby Jesus was sent from God. They knew it was God's plan for him to come to earth. An angel had told them months before that they should name him Jesus. Mary and Joseph did their best to make everything just right for the baby, thought Jonathan. But I wonder why God wanted his son to be born in a place like that. He tried to imagine baby Jeffrey being born in a barn or a garage. Aunt Amber wouldn't let it happen. But why did God want this to happen to his son when he could have been born in the finest house in the whole wide world? Jonathan wondered if he'd find the answer tonight. His grandfather went on reading. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Jonathan thought of that night on the hillside just outside Bethlehem. Everything must have been peaceful and still. The men who took care of the sheep were either asleep or just sitting quietly. Did they spend their hours gazing at the stars and thinking about God? Had they been as impressed with the beauty of the sky and the stars as Jonathan had been with the wind and the water? Grandfather kept reading. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Jonathan thought about that, how terrifying that must have been for those shepherds to see this angel appear. But then his grandfather continued with what that message was about. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." You know, as Jonathan heard that word Savior just rang in his ear. And it reminded him of why Jesus came, why God sent his son. It was because he had a problem that he could do nothing about. That problem is called sin. Sin is wanting our own way instead of God's way. It's cheating, lying, taking things which don't belong to us, not believing and obeying God's word. And no one had to teach us to do these things. You and I were born wanting and knowing how to sin. The Bible says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But God loves us so much that he gave his perfect son to be punished for us by giving his blood and his life. He died for your sin and mine, but on the third day he came alive again. He is still alive in heaven today, ruling over all. God wants you to believe in what Jesus did for you and to trust him to forgive your sins. Jonathan was glad he now understood why God had come as a helpless baby. Jesus had become a baby so he could grow to be a man and die for the sin of everyone in the world. Joy filled Jonathan's heart as he bowed his head and prayed, "Dear God, I know now why you sent your son to earth as a baby. I've done wrong things. I really need someone to take the punishment for my sins. Thank you, God, that Jesus came to die for me. I believe in him now as my savior from sin. Help me to live for you now. Amen." What about you? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior today? Jesus died and gave his precious blood to save you from sin. Jesus is alive and wants you to believe in him. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That means if you believe, trust completely on the Lord Jesus and what he did for you, you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven so you can get to know God who has the best plan for your life. With his help, you can live his way, and someday you will be with him in heaven forever. Are you sad about your sin? Have you trusted Jesus to save you today? This is the most important choice you will ever make. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you will be saved.
Thank you, Jill, for that great lesson about how our God is so great. What a wonderful Christmas story for children as we think about the reason why Jesus came to be our Lord and our Savior. And we praise the Lord for how God has already used a simple Christmas story in the lives of children and how he uses his word and blesses his word and draws the children unto himself. In fact, just this past week, we have done for CEF of Illinois, we have conducted over 3 outreaches for Christmas, and we have seen already over 100 children that have heard the Christmas story, the biblical Christmas story, and have heard the story, the gospel message of who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and what Jesus offers, the gift of salvation. And we have already had several boys and girls who have wanted to come back and talk to us how they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. For more information about CEF Children's Ministry materials or how you can be involved in CEF teacher training classes, call our CEF State Office today at 309-688-9699. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and equip them in telling future generations about God and his word. May the Lord bless you, and may you have a wonderful Christmas as we celebrate our great God and our wonderful Savior.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me again.